first up on the mic is Patricia Walsh. Please welcome her to the mic.
This is called Lead Crystal. A termite gains your infinite ways of switching off the valid points, eating under umbrage to heart's discontent, conveniently ignored under guise of drinking. I break this lock if I had to. The combination of desire gets some reward. Listening unavailable, sleeping alone, and I left alone, cheated unfulfilled. The crystal collection shimmers its wares. Don't hold what you can't afford. Chimes my system, unhappy with looking, by prices, conditions too hard to keep. Not bad for a beginner. Not nearly enough to keep me sweet or even satisfied. Fighting for divorce, dead for frustration, and mourning the imperfections of a lost cause. Quickly separated, no fanfare, called Scarra, no apportion of blame on the infinite bed. Two reapers for me, the spills gone long ago, given free rein to more forthcoming pursuits. Getting ahead is key. I, resigned to failure, search again in immortal face for a substitute's girl. Someone gullible from the rest, listen to generous plots of world domination, my adventure in dross. Thank you.
Next up we have Matthew Stone.
To be fully honest, I didn't prepare anything. I just wanted to share sentiments I had on this city. I've been here for 5 days, and actually I was kicked out of the apartment I was staying at on Thursday, so I was kind of homeless. And I was thinking of going back to Belgium actually, because I was very stressed. I lost my passport as well. But then I walked around in the city. I saw all the people connecting. It's not a thing we do a lot in Belgium. And I went to these people playing with fire pots. I sat down. I looked at all the people partying, connecting, and it engulfed me. You know, I sat there for 2 hours, very silent. It made me really silent. Actually, I almost cried. I guess I kind of, at that moment, I decided to stay in court. That was what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Matthias. We're glad that you're going to stay. And I'm sad to be leaving next week, but I'll be back.
No!
It's true, yeah, Cork is beautiful. Donald MC, you're next.
In the summer, we used to come down to my uncle's farm in Ballygarvan. And when I asked him, when did that happen, Wickham? He'd always say, Ullastraw, Ullastraw, which is arcane Irish for the day before yesterday, when he didn't answer something. It was the only Irish I ever heard him say. But the other thing he used to do was sayings all the time. So this is the sayings. This is called, a thin slice of ham in the hand is better than a fat pig in a dream. Never bolt your door with a boiled carrot. As Uncle Michael would say with a wink, tongue in cheek, it didn't make any sense, as our door was always open. We never knew it locked. And I liked my carrots raw and stolen, plucked from my father's little plot. He perplexed my little human rabbits, his mud-cake boots standing amazed as we hid, holding our breath amongst the flowering curb pinks. But poets and pigs are only to be appreciated after their death, as they say, whoever they are. But as I always say, don't be after breaking your shin on a stool that isn't there.
Next up, we have Janice Swindle.
No, I'm all right, thank you. I'm not very damaged. I'm recovering from a broken leg.
lovely cobble sitting there in Cork, and I don't want to stumble, that's all. This is a short poem. I'm very fond of animals, but I think we don't do enough for educating animals. I think they need more educating, especially in politics. So this is a, actually there's an unknown word in this. You may have heard of sheep and goats. Perhaps you haven't yet heard of geeks. So that's the unknown word in here. Advice on politics for animals. How to be a sheep. Acquire a thick fleece. Expect to be shorn of it. Obey anyone with a whistle and a dog. Keep your head down and your mouth full. How to be a goat. Toss your knucklebone head in protest whenever you're tethered. Kick up your clickety feet and dance when you're free. Digest everything that's thrown at you. How to be a geep. Grow your hair long, but never get fleeced. Throw up your hands and what can't be digested. Keep your feet on the ground. Love goats. Love sheep. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Next up we have Rosalind Crowley. Rosalind.
Thank you. This is called Lessons in Life. Who knows where the lessons come from? Why they come? When they come? What are they meant to teach us? These questions popped in my head just like the lessons themselves without warning. I stopped the car to write these thoughts down. No immediate answers came, just repetitive words. They come. They come in the early hours of the morning. They come at night. They come to soothe and they come to disrupt. Lessons in life come to you and me always. Let the dust settle and start over. And then an answer came. Lessons come to teach us grace and gratitude for breath. Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Pat Potter.
For whatever mysterious reason, this is my most translated poem that's been published in France, Italy, Estonia, Croatia, Serbia, Macedonia, and Turkey. It's written at the end of the last century for a woman who was born in the Chinese year of the tiger. The tigress is a girl who breakfasts in your bed without eating you. The tigress is a girl whose first nakedness is the perfection of her shoulders quaking your heart. A tigress is a girl with claws as sharp as gentleness touching you. A tigress is a girl with kisses like Chinese tortures scorching you. A tigress is a girl with hair as russet as the walnut scent which lulls you. A tigress is a girl with eyes as dark as dreamless sleep enshrouding you. A tigress is a girl who licks up all your purring like milk before leaving you. A tigress is a girl whose image echoes in your head like a roar, affrighting you. A tigress is a girl who is camouflaged in the jungle of her own emotions, eluding you.
Thank you, Pat. Next we have Philip Spillane.
Hi, for stanzas, the theme of the poem is local. Stanzas like a poetry group that meet up in Limerick, a bit like O'Vale, and they put together an anthology every year based on a theme, and today's theme is locale, and I decided to do my own twist in it, my own version of it. It's not really a poem, it's more of a prose, but let's see what we get out of it. Loco Zinas. It was late summer evening, the type that surprises you with an impulse, a desire to go out and walk. The sky was a stain of spilt wine, stretched to there were strain marks of yellow. You scrape your feet through spattered pothole grains, pretending to walk rusty. My thoughts float around that, and I miss her. Birds are chorusing hoarse good night. The trees whisper a secret. The ditches that hid rabbit homes and some remains of old limestone brickwork stretched out with not a bungalow in sight. But then I slide my eyes, naturally left, and see someone walking to me, an old friend, now foe, a liar, a mask. Your head phases with the shock of the reminder. I portray it all with my eyebrows narrowing, commanding them to stay ahead and concentrate on the evening walk. However, I just looked at him, making sure he wasn't a shadow, double-checked that face of a man that I knew his younger eyes and now enemy. I freeze, then nod. His older face returns, and we walk our separate ways on that evening walk. Thank you.
Irish, I suppose, in a way. It's about how I want to be buried. It's called Wishes to Ashes, actually, but I don't want to be buried. Oh, burn me, not bury me. The resurrection of the flesh is not to my taste. I want to be free to incarnate as I choose on the other side. Split my ashes into five parts. Send one to Glengad Beach, where we resisted Shell. Send another to Stirling's Field, where we mobilised against the G8. Send a third to the lock, an acid playground of my young adulthood. A fourth must go to Kiltula, home of my mother's seed. The fifth to Ballyline, the hearth round which I was raised. Do these things after I'm gone and you have properly honoured me, following my wishes to the letter. This done, my soul can find rest and freedom and my spirit roam free down the corridors of space and time.
Thank you, Ray. Charles Clark is next.
Revival of ballroom dancing, and I was pleased to discover that the foremost school of ballroom dancing in Dublin was the one that I had learned for myself years ago, the Morosini Whelan School of Dance. So this is what I'm saying about it. Foxtrot and After, my partner, teacher of the dance, trails perfume over the parquet, drags me in her wake as the old lady spanks out the tune on the stool upright. Clamped tight to Tom, Dick and Harry in turn, she circles to the billiard table and says goodbye. Tango, Big Step, Foxtrot, Waltz, Samba, Rumba, all ending goodbye.
Thank you, Charles. Mags Creedon is next.
I'm just writing this today, so I hope it's okay. My lovely classmate and physio colleague passed away today in Canberra, so I won't get into it, but we did work together through time she's worked on a palace which was so broke in the Middle East for a month at a time. So this is in memory of her. I've written short stories and a poem, so this is a little bit of a song of the memory of a young mother of 16, the third wife, I guess, who had a little child dying of leukemia. And she was beautiful with her, and she used to sing to her every day. And I never forget the sound of her voice singing to her child. So this is kind of for that woman, wherever she is. Can you hear me? I don't project very well.
Slept on the floor, sang goodbye that lullaby. Where have they all gone now? I wonder as the time flies. Shwaya shwaya aini, shwaya shwaya habibi. Ajabil bed inshallah. Shwaya shwaya jameel. Some folks live, some trees live when felled. Some just lose their branches. Some trees have leaves so dry and yellow. White lilies bleed to olives. Tingy, tingy, red leg. He rock, he rock the boat. Nefu sami akaini.
I repeat, one day only. Attention all customers, I do not care if you have the extra 18 cents. Do not make me do the math. You're forming a needless complication in my life. Attention all customers, yes, those grapes are expensive, but no, I do not care for your complaints. I'm a 20-year-old working minimum wage. Do you really think I dictate these prices? Please stop yelling at me. I have more customers to get through. Attention all customers, I can see you judging my appearance. Frizzy hair, soup stain on my uniform, wonky name badge. Your all-seeing eyes are not a subtle feature. It's 10 in the morning, and I am only a morning person because my job requires me to be. Attention all customers, I can see you judging me all around. those pitying stares you give me as I pack away your groceries, the condescending ways you address me, and don't think I forgot about you who don't address me at all, as if I'm too lowly to deserve it. I'm more than this. I'm more than your cashier. I'm just like you when my shift ends. I have bigger hopes, I have bigger ambitions. This is just a pit stop, not a permanent solution. So, enough with the pity. Don't you have bigger dreams than this too? Attention all customers. God, I need a break.
Thank you, Laura. I hope you get out of that job, but at the same time, it's giving you some good material. So. Next, we have Sean Flynn.
This poem's called In Response to Adelstein Norman's The Song in Fjord, Norway. And I should probably just explain, it's a painting, it's about double the size of my arms. It's banal, isn't it? And it's really cool. I was like just seeing in Leeds Art Gallery looking at this thing and was just so like consumed by it. I don't know. I spent like 30 minutes just looking at it, so yeah, just this is a response to it. Oh, you sublimest hallucination of hallucinations, your effluences shed their lights on my eyes. I stand in the gallery expectant and astonished, mind imbolloxed by your sheer span, wondering things in fragments as usual, like what brand of nail keeps this painting a hang? Then I see the painting taking breath anew. I give your glacial waters all my time and future time. Sure, what else am I going to do with it? You alone enchained here hold the chain to my soul. Titanic shells of immortalized cliff face painted in a gunmetal movement towards the sky, skirted at the lakeside with a muff of lush greenery, created no doubt in grace so amorous with our souls. Swear by your painted breath, this is no realm of fiction, that you have made your time and place and gone across the fjord to find the flowers growing there, the subterranean moles and hares lying low in lairs. O Adelstein, your roving speed, electric in the gilded frame, acts in distance to a human loveliness, transgressing God and godliness, and proclaims in its melodious visuals the common language of green, grey, and broken blues. O Adelstein, that your pints of paint should stir forever within the bloom of majesty, my heart of hearts, that the song in your fjord should tease and prattle with the mass of living hearts, and hang on heavy nails amidst their wet and lowing murmurs. It is not for them I know, for I know now your face, that art is not consigned to speak to and from its origin. It does not lie in situ, playing dumb show mute in coffin, but strives and proves itself against attorneys of mistaken death. That you and I, Adelstein, were conversant and alive by my presence in that room, my eyes foaming with your life, to think you live to paint for this renewed illumination. How, tell me, can I live if not to dance with you in grace? Yes, no indemnity could one claim too high to ensure the painstaking strokes and coruscating paints, uncorrupted by pedant inflammations of the spirit, your major size and stature in equanimity and soul. This feeling is both love and God, to sit and stare in leisurely repose upon the picture on the wall, awakening in my breast and inanition being sated. It's funny to say, but you were in that instance the approximation of all the deductions in myself, the exact shape missing from between my arms, the luminary of the buffer between us, which made me dissolve in thousands of prayers, mirthful, squirming, seated in the empty gallery, to know that love's awakened only in relation to a thou. O Adelstein, awake, alive, he unmoors his raft and sails again. Your painted grass and flora grow large above your charnel roof, one day, yes, to wither, but first, not lost, to fruit. And the next day, actually, I wrote a response to that poem then. I was more like revising it, editing it, you know. And I kind of thought that's a bit over the top, all that. So this is a footnote to the Adelstein poem. Adelstein, did you hear what I just said? I wonder if... Never mind, just... Did you sneak out on everyone for that secluded niche? Yeah, a landscape filled with earthly hymns, but nevertheless, still solitude. Maybe what I saw that day in the song in your fjord was just the soul's reaction to the heart's mistake. And that's okay too, no call for punishment. I myself am Pope and appeal to no higher divinity for sanction. So I permit myself go OTT when I myself divine no limits, and what beauty there to decide heuristically what radar blip I want. That I'm allowed to feel and learn and unfeel and forget, and deliver myself to the whims and liberty of inconsistence which houses love and God, and we must make our supplications to that means. Why remain formed by rock when others lose themselves to sand? How sad to be amorous with the chains that stymie nascent budding. Though the chains be charmed, diamonded, and pretty, still they choke the breast, still they choke the basest of that human need, liberty. So once I had my fill of staring in the empty gallery, I sat forward, stretched and burped in that order, scratched the scab upon my head, and with the rock within soluble to sand, I caught a handful and infurnaced them with new desire, to blow the sand clean into pretty glass and jog on to the next epipsychic painting.
Thank you, Sean. Next we have Austin Dowling.
My father nearly saw me dead. At 8, I swam too far out, and Jesus was a teenage diver who risked his head to whisk me free. I inhaled an ocean of doubt, Dad thought the boy I loved the red. When cold nights prove sleepless, I pour my troubles into a screen, and as I understand it, my suffering, once saved, sent seen, sells as data, or if you will, my tears feed one family per week. January keeps us awake, as Janus cries sleep no more and creaks open the door to night, a time for detours, and hissing felines who breathe between the creep of passing cars. Leaves crush this liminal break, when beasts flee from fate's prey, and we who were lost long before still yammer of deities, who our cyber overlords ignore. For the leaf sustains our souls now, and glided by her own sweet will, she who sprays death across her hometown, that leaf keeps trashing until herded by the droop of frowns, our slaughtered spirits reach their fill.
Thank you, Austin. Rob is next. Michal, if you're, are you joining them? Or? Rob and Michal Weber.
My name's not Michal Weber.
Is it Ann?
Huh? Well, no, so my name's not even Rob Weber.
Oh.
Maybe I should change it. I don't know
what to say. What to do?
We'll do this thing we haven't done.
Again.
Yes. Wait, and outfit in the youth. You homeless? No, I'm waiting for a bus. Are you homeless, asked the man, with shoes but no socks? He says, homeless, yeah, despite my drink. When I woke the next day, I didn't know what to think. They took my cash and my passport too, and I don't know what I'm gonna do. Get my fag, and the glowing red coal seems to warm his soul. Now he sleeps on pavement hard concrete with a naked blanket for a pillow and sheet.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, Rob Harkart. And this one's called A Letter. Mother? I didn't touch your face in 7 years now and counting. I take my sorrow and my anger and forge it into something else. A sound, a picture, a plant, a vision. Direct effect of my decision to leave the Baltic southern shores. Escape from ignorance, religious wars, anarchy, xenophobic dwarves, corrupted courts, to open closed for others' doors, to open eyes and heal the souls of those who, unlike me, can't find a comfort in their madness. While for me, Mother, madness is like a fire that burns the sadness. So thank you for your patience. Thanks for understanding. Your love, your words, your silent waiting. And only sometimes when I'm alone and day is merging with the night, I feel at the bottom of my heart a stone. I hope I see you soon. Your son.
That's beautiful, Miho. Thank you, Rab and Miho Lover. Next, our last poet is of the night is Devin O'Connell. But we have time, so if anyone wants to read after Devin, please come up. So next we have Devin O'Connell.
And here's a poem about a fish. I have to explain this one a little bit. I'm a fish farmer. I farm fish, obviously. I worked for a long time in Scotland. One of the places I worked was a running resource centre. And we had these big, massive steel and concrete tanks full of big, massive cod. The place was in the middle of nowhere, so under those conditions, you get to build a bond with your fish. So. I'm likely to forget this halfway through. It's written down, but this is actually an obvious opinion. At the bottom of a deep tank, in the dark of the big shed, lay an old broodstock cod with a twist in her head. I fed her every other day, and once she got to know me, we sat in the rafters, eating biscuits, drinking tea. We talked of many things, me and this old cod, like, did fish have souls? Was there a fish god? She had a poor self-image, like all twisted fish. She wasn't good at swimming. She was the wrong shape to fit in a dish. She said to me one day, I can't take it anymore. I've spent all my life sitting on a concrete tank floor. I hate the smell from the drain and that pelleted feed. I want to swim in the ocean. I want to be freed. I gently reminded her that with that twist in her head, she'd sink like a stone and be stuck to the seabed. She said, I don't care. Getting caught by an angler, at least I'd bring glory. And being dragged up by a trawler would be exciting and gory. I don't want to die in this tank and float at my side. I want to swim in the ocean, in the waves and the tide. I thought about her at night, but despite the moral ramifications, setting her free would get me sacked for breaking fish movement regulations. A day finally came, upon it I'm often reflecting, when my twisted friend died and needed dissecting. I dragged her out of the tank, and she'd already started to stench. I'd lay her out like a martyr on the plastic lab bench. And bloody visceral fluid poured out and covered the place when I slit my friend open from her arse to her face. In her stomach I found a short length of copper wire. Her swim bladder had been punctured like an old bicycle tire. She had every disease going from francisella to vibriosis, a fatty lipid filled the liver and the usual gill necrosis. But wanderlust and yearning was my final diagnosis. I threw her corpse in the bin and gave her owners my notes.